goodness, it feels good in here already. I'm ready for the Holy Ghost recliner, amen. Pastor Philip used to call it the righteousness recliner, didn't he? Seems like it. Righteousness jacuzzi, that's right, next to the Holy Ghost recliner. Praise God. Just lay back and let the bubbles do the work, amen. Hallelujah. Well, listen. We did make it through praise and worship. And I'm excited about Pastor Sherry being with us this afternoon. So stand once again to your feet and welcome Pastor Sherry to the pulpit.
Well, aren't you glad you're here this afternoon? My, what a time we had this morning. I tell you, the devil is so mad you're here this week. Ken. Because you are just going to overflow everywhere you go with this righteousness understanding. Going to overflow in manifestation of finances. Going to overflow in healing. Going to overflow on other people and get them free. I mean, look out Georgetown and wherever else the rest of y'all are from. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory. Well, this morning, in my session this morning, I was talking about, is righteousness a license to sin? And of course it's not. And, I kept bleeding over to where we're going this afternoon and tonight. But, you know, I see the end of that road. I'm just ready to get there to it. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, say glory when you're there. And verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And it used to be, I stopped right there. Boy, I knew that part well. But then I had to go on to the rest of the part, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I want to talk to you this afternoon that we are free from the law, we're free from these lists, and we're to be led by the Spirit. And I'm going to show you how being led by the Spirit is vital to see all the things fulfilled law-wise that need to be fulfilled, list-wise that need to be fulfilled. Not going through and setting up legalistic laws, legalistic lists, but how many of y'all know there are some things we need to accomplish? And it's going to be accomplished by being led by the Spirit. And then before this afternoon's session's over, I'm going to show you it's real easy. Say easy. It's real easy to be led by the Spirit. And I'm going to just show you what's involved by being led by the Spirit. And you're probably going to look at that and say, well, I do that. And then you're just going to realize, oh, how easy it is to be led. Glory to God. We found out this morning that our righteousness is not a license to sin, but actually righteousness is our victory over sin. And we found out that flesh is that carnal mind, and the carnal mind cannot fulfill the law. But we will find out that the one led by the Spirit will walk in that righteous nature and will find the righteousness of the law already fulfilled in them. Amen? Now I want to read this, how Kenneth Weiss says it. It says, therefore now, there is not even one bit of condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit, that of the life in Christ Jesus, freed you once for all from the law of the sinful nature and of death. For that which is an impossibility for the law, because it was weak through the sinful nature, God having sent his Son in the likeness of flesh of sin and concerning sin, condemned sin in the sinful nature, in order that the righteous requirement of the law may be brought to completion in us, who, not as dominated by the sinful nature, are ordering our behavior, but as dominated by the Spirit. Do you see that? And so he's letting us know, now there's no condemnation for you and me. But the way we walk free from that condemnation, the way we walk free from that adverse judgment, is by being led by the Spirit of God. And when our lives are being led about by the Spirit of God, of course, then the Holy Spirit's going to lead in those paths of righteousness. We'll go there in just a little bit. And then we will simply find that all the laws that involved righteousness have already been fulfilled in us, and that walk in the Spirit will take them from the inside out. And we will find that everything is completed by that, completed in us, but completed out of us by the walk in the Spirit. Did you understand that? All right. Now, go with me to Galatians chapter 5. I tell you, our victory over sin, it's not a list of do's and don'ts. Our victory in faith is not a matter of being able to check off everything off a list, but a Spirit-led life will be a sin-free life and a disciplined life, because this is just the way of the Holy Spirit. When we find our steps being ordered moment by moment, day by day, week by week, when we find those our steps being ordered by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit doesn't lead us into sin. The Holy Spirit doesn't lead us in an undisciplined life. And I know that's kind of a duh statement, but I'm just wanting to put it that plain in front of us, that Spirit-led life will lead us in a life of purity and in a life of faith. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, say glory if you're there. It says, verse 16, this I say then, and I'm just going to read through this and then we'll pull out some points here. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, we have found out this morning that the flesh is that carnal mind, and we were making those distinguishing differences between a carnal mind and a spiritual mind. Amen? And I'm telling you, child of God, controlling the thoughts is the major part of the battle in walking in the Spirit. You learn how to control your thoughts. Walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, is a breeze. You just become very skillful in taking every thought captive into obedience. You just be very skillful in that, and you will find yourself walking in the Spirit. He says, verse 16, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust that was in that dead man. He says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, that you cannot do the things that you would. He says, we'll come back to that. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Then it lists the works of the flesh and tells us that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then down in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And I learned this from Pastor Jack years ago, and I've been teaching it ever since as my own, as it says the fruit, singular. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So that's the fruit of our spirit. And then in love, we find joy, peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the meekness, the temperance. So we perfect love. Let love be perfected in us. We'll find the rest in there. Amen? Glory to God. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, in verse 17, he says, the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And, you know, it's just letting you know that that carnal mind wants to be contrary to your walk in the spirit. But child of God, I'm here to tell you, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That new man that is born again in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that carnal mind is no match to it. In fact, we found out that carnal mind, that flesh being, is that dead man. And a dead man can't do anything. A dead man cannot do a thing. And so we've got this righteous man that can rise up and dominate every carnal thought. And if we dominate the carnal thought, then the manifestation of the thoughts will not play out in our lives. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. And he goes in verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. So that's the fruit. Go back up to verse 24. Yes, verse 24. And they that are Christ, say, I'm Christ, have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. And that's just the putting to death of wrong thinking. And we found out this morning that we can mortify it, which means that we can, by the Spirit, make those thoughts extinct. I had an experience here about a year ago. There was an area in Prosperity that I had renewed my mind to and got complete manifestation of, and a debt-free lifestyle. And so my mind had been renovated where debt was concerned, and I saw, and my life came out of debt. And there was an area, and I mean, that, how many of y'all know that was a battle? I had to, you know, not, and let me say this, debt's not a sin. You got to let God lead you where you're at, but he told me no more debt. And so I had to eliminate it out of my mind if it was going to be eliminated out of my life. So I eliminated that from my mind, prospered and was in health, even as my soul prospers, eliminated it out of my life. And there was an area, and that was a battle. But I won that battle. I won to myself a debt-free mind. And then there was an area that I was walking out, and the answer seemed to be, and was suggested to me, that perhaps a debt would resolve that. And of course, I knew that you know, debt's not a sin, and weighing out what needed to be taken care of, I thought, well, maybe I need to consider that. I found myself first of all, the first time attempted to do it, it wasn't approved. Now listen, child of God, my husband and I, we have a lot of money manifested. His payroll, very good. Our credit score is very, very high. So I could not give you a natural reason on why it wouldn't be approved. And so I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to have to use my faith on this. Well, I'm finding out that thought process was extinct. And I was going to have to renew my mind to debt in order to get debt. And I was like, what am I doing? I can't do that. I can't. So, you know, I didn't go there. But I used that to give to you as an example. Whatever condemnation, if it's whatever fear, whatever inferiority complex, whatever you feeling less or not adequate, or whatever is not in line with your righteous nature, you will so mortify that. You will so put that to death that it will be extinct and it cannot rise up anymore to haunt you. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. And the Spirit-led life takes you there. Hallelujah. I mean, those things that used to, that were natural to you are no longer natural to you. In fact, when it tries to rise up, it's like, really? It's laughable. Are you hearing me, child of God? Because of who I was before Christ, if it was there, I was afraid of it. I mean, I had such a long list of fears. And I had a fear of someone breaking into my house. I had a fear of it being dark at night in my house. I certainly didn't want to be by myself in my house. And I mean, I was in bondage to that. I recently here got an email. Probably y'all got them too. We get these emails from Kuwait and stuff like that. And, you know, it's our million-dollar manifestation, you know, because their husband died and they want to donate to a charitable organization. And, you know, and so I get those all the time. Well, I got a new one. It was from a Gmail account, and they have been put on payroll to kill me. And they've been commissioned to take my life out. And they said, but they've been following me everywhere I go. And because they've been following me everywhere I go, they realize I am not worthy of this death warrant. And so if I will pay them $3,000, that was kind of funny there, just $3,000. If I'll pay them $3,000, they'll not kill me. But not to dare come out of my house, not to dare call the police, because they're watching. That's what I did. I read this. I said, this is a new one. And we all laugh at that now. But child of God, a few years ago, that would have kept me in bondage to my house. I would have locked my windows. I would have pulled the blinds. And I would have waited out till the police came. And I would have insisted on bodyguards everywhere I go. But yeah, praise God, we know what we know. Amen? Hallelujah. How'd I get there? Where are we at? Where'd I leave off at? Galatians 5. Crucifying the wrong thinking, verse 24. And so we crucify that wrong thinking, and that thinking just is dead. It no longer exists. Now, and we already said in verse 17, it's that wrong thinking that is wanting to battle the Spirit, but it's not a match for our Spirit. And by our Spirit, we crucify that wrong thinking. And therefore, we then, in verse 22, find our place then, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, and us walking in that place of the Spirit, and walking in the Spirit means we will then walk in love. And I'm just going to spend a little bit of time on that. But love is your divine nature. When you were born of God and recreated in His image and likeness, God is love. And so that crucifying the thoughts of that old dead man releases us then to walk in our divine nature, to walk in our Spirit, which our Spirit is love. Now turn to Matthew, in Matthew chapter 22. Say glory when you're there. In verse 37, verse 36, he asked, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so when we take those carnal thoughts captive to the Word of God, and we think upon who we are in Christ Jesus, it releases us into that place of walking in the Spirit, therefore walking in love. And he tells us right there, very simple and very plain, that all the law is fulfilled in love. You walk in love, the law is fulfilled. And I don't need to break it down for you, but I will just a little bit here. You know, when you're in, when you walk in love, you can't stay angry at somebody. When you walk in love, you don't wish wrong for someone else. When you walk in love, you're going to want the best for everybody. When you walk in love, you're not going to fornicate. You're not going to lie. You're not going to steal. When you walk in love, you're not going to do those things that are displeasing to God. You're so in love with God. You know, you're not going to cuss. You're not going to drink. You're not going to smoke. And when you walk in love, that divine nature of love will want to manifest all that God's given you. Because he's freely given it to us. And we want it in manifestation. Yes, to give him pleasure and enjoy it. And we say that and kind of laugh, but I mean that sincerely. Oh my, you know, I thought being a mother taught me something. Being a grandmother, I have no greater pleasure, children and grandchildren both, to just give them things to enjoy, to take them places. And I mean, and they know that pleases me. They know I enjoy that very much. And I think they get pleasure out of seeing me get pleasure. Yes, I know they enjoy the benefits. I know that. But they like seeing me have fun. How much more, Daddy God? He loves taking you places. He loves giving you things. He takes no greater pleasure than seeing you receive from him. And you should know that that makes him happy. You should know that gives him joy. But now let's move on beyond that. We want to manifest it also because of what we're going to be able to do for others. Amen? Anyone else here like being a blessing? Amen? Glory to God. And so that love demands for the manifestation of what belongs to our divine nature to be poured out upon those. I think I'm getting in territory I'm not supposed to go right now. That love demands it. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. So thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. Now love thy neighbor as thyself, and it's on those two commandments that hangs all the law and the prophets. That is the fulfillment of the law there. Now go back over to Romans chapter 8. And verse 14, say glory if you're there. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Kenneth Weiss says it this way, for as many as are being constantly led by God's Spirit, these are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery again with resulting fear, but you've received the Spirit who places you as adult sons by whom we cry out with deep emotion, Abba, namely Father. Now what declares our sonship of God is us being led by the Spirit. Now, you and I, we were born again children of God, but there's a place of sonship that we want to come into, and that maturity is based on how well we're being led by the Spirit. Now, let me just put in a little side note here. I'm not talking about a long, drawn-out process. It don't have to take a real long time to learn how to be led by the Spirit month by month, week by week, day by day, and moment by moment. In fact, he said this in Romans, I believe it's chapter 9, that he's doing a quick work. And he's cutting it short in righteousness. So righteousness understanding has positioned us to be led by the Spirit and to come to that place of skillfulness in it at a more quicker rate. Hallelujah. And that leading of the Holy Spirit signifies our maturity. Now, Pastor Jack was talking about adoption this morning. There's another thing about adoption I want us to understand. That word adoption is the same word that I understand or has its history in the word where the Jews get their bar mitzvah. And where a bar mitzvah is concerned, it's where someone who's a son who's already a child of God have come to a place of maturity, and they are being placed as a son in the family. And it's just that recognition of that place that they've come to in their manhood. Are you hearing that, child of God? And there's that place of the Spirit-led life that takes us from being children to being sons expressing all the characteristics of God. Let me say this. Therefore, all the characteristics of who you really are. And they're coming forth by that Spirit-led life. You see that? Hallelujah. Being led by the Spirit brings one to the place of walking in the character of God. And again, that's going to come down to walking in love. That development of the fruit of love is the maturity in our life. Now, go to Psalms 23. Love the Psalms. I want us to look what it says here in verse 3. He restoreth my soul. There we are again. He restoreth my soul. And when he's restoring my soul, how's he going to lead me? He's going to lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And first of all, I want you to understand that just like that, that as God is taking you through his word in your relationship with him, that in the restoration of your soul, he's going to lead you through righteousness revelation for that restoration to take place. But here's another thing that I want you to understand as far as being led by the Spirit. God is going to lead you according to your divine nature. He's going to lead you according to your righteousness. Now, that may seem real simple to you, but it's amazing to me that I will see people with carnal, intellectual, I reasoned it out ideas that take no faith at all, and they believe God's blessings on it, and that's how he's leading them. And that is not how he leads, child of God. He leads according to your righteous, divine supernatural man, he leads you in paths of righteousness. I was getting awfully quiet in this charismatic Word of Faith church. He's going to lead you according to your righteous nature. Now he's not going to lead you by the natural man, but he's going to lead you into building yourself up in the Word. He's going to lead you to talk like God talks. He's going to lead you to act like God acts. Are you hearing me? That's how your righteous nature is. He's going to lead you in those paths of righteousness. He's going to lead you to build yourself up in the Word. He's going to lead you to talk like God talks. He's going to lead you to act like God acts. He's going to lead you to walk like God walks. That's how he's going to lead you. And it's going to take your faith in the Word of God to do that, to bring that from the inside out. And I know my afternoon session is on how we're free from a list of do's, the law, and these things. But what I'm doing is I'm giving you the opposing force to it. What's religion tell you to do? Well, you got to do this, this, and this. Even in the charismatic world, we can have our list, and in our own willpower and by our natural man, we're setting out to fulfill divine destiny, and it's not going to happen. But the Spirit of God, leading us by who we are in Christ Jesus, will surpass our wildest dreams. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John 14. John 14 and verse 26, it says, but the Comforter, talking about the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Go over to chapter 16. And verse 12, it says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, I thought this was interesting in verse 12. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you. Now, he's got his disciples before him. The disciples that he's been raising up and he's been training. And he says, I got some things I want to tell you. But he says, you cannot bear them right now. Now, that word bear, let me see, I think I got the definition of that. Well, it means a receiving of being able to get hold of it and receive it. Here's what he's saying. I got to go. So that you can be born again. And your spirit man made alive. So that you can receive the things that I want to get over to you. He's got his disciples. He says, I've been training you. I've been raising you up. Perhaps there's some things you've got hold of, but there's some things I still need to tell you. But here I am, Jesus. But even though I'm Jesus, in front of you, in your face, I can't get this over to you. Because there's something that's got to happen on the inside of you. is that divine nature has got to come alive on the inside of you so that he can receive transmissions from heaven and be led by the Holy Spirit. Let me read this in another translation to you. Where is it? And the Amplified. He says, I have still many things to say to you, but you're not able to bear them or to take them upon you or to grasp them now. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth. For he will not speak his own message, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him. And he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me because he will take up, receive, and draw upon what is mine and will reveal, declare, disclose. I like this. Transmit it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. See, God, he, at that point right there, he had revelation from heaven that he needed to get to his people so that his will in heaven will be done on earth in their lives. But they first had to have a heavenly identity before they could receive transmissions from heaven. And Jesus saying, I'm here, I know I'm master, I know I'm rabbi, but even I now am limited and cannot get this over to you because I got to take revelation from heaven that's going to direct your path, that's going to take you in a supernatural way so that you will get supernatural results in your life. These are transmissions from heaven, but you got to have a heavenly identity first. The Lord Jesus, I'm here to tell you, your heavenly identity has come. Your heavenly identity is there on the inside of you. It is who you are, and you have been set to receive directions from heaven to take you in that supernatural way in which you have been ordered for. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And let me tell you, child of God, many of those transmissions will come through your man of God's mouth. Because he or she is going to bring you a revelation that is so far beyond the natural man. And it's got to be received by your heavenly man, your supernatural man, so that you can be taken to those supernatural realms. Oh, we saw both ways when we saw the 12 spies that went into the promised land, did we not? 12 spies went in, saw what God said they could have, saw what God said they could do. The 12 came back. 10 gave a different report. They gave a natural man's report. They said, now let's have some reason here. I don't really think God meant it that way. So God's going to put a preacher in front of you that what he ministers is going to minister to your righteous man, because the Holy Spirit is going to lead you in paths of righteousness. He's not going to minister to you something that you can do with your natural man. He's going to minister to you what you can do with your supernatural man. Amen? See how vital what you're getting today is? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I done preached myself happy. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let me talk to you now. Let me talk to you how easy it is to be led by the Holy Spirit. You don't need to turn there, but we were just here in John 16, which talks about how the Holy Spirit will take all this, takes all this information from heaven and transmits it to us. We also know in John chapter 10 that Jesus said that his sheep know his voice. They hear his voice. Amen? And the way you can tell that someone's hearing his voice is because they do it. Because he doesn't just say they'll hear it. He says they'll hear it and follow. So the one that's hearing is following, doing what he says. So we're not trying, I say all that to say, we're not trying to get the Holy Spirit to speak. We're not trying to get the Holy Spirit to lead. He is speaking all the time. We're just looking to how do we position ourselves? How do we hear what he's saying and follow through with it? You know, and I hope this doesn't upset anyone. I don't think it will. And you perhaps have heard it before, but here's a real good example. 911. When 911 happened, God was speaking to everybody. He was telling everybody what was about to happen, but not everybody could hear. He didn't want one person in those towers. He didn't want one person in that plane. He didn't want anyone to be harmed. He was speaking to everybody, but there were those who knew how to hear. And we're hearing the testimonies all the time of the ones who heard. I mean, people who never showed up late for work, never took a day off, but led by the Spirit that day, they did. And they're alive today to tell about it. That's not a criticism to the other people. They just didn't know. But I'm wanting to make the difference so that you know that God's speaking all the time. But we're the ones who hear. Say, I hear. Now, go back to Romans chapter 8. I read this a minute ago, verse 15. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. To be led by the Spirit, It is vital that you refuse fear. Fear is not a part of your divine nature. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind. And who you are in Christ Jesus can rise up and dominate fear. Amen? If we will tolerate fear, we will reason out the leading of the Holy Spirit. If we tolerate fear, fear of loss, fear of embarrassment, fear of failure, fear of people, we will reason our way out of being led by the Holy Spirit. You cannot tolerate fear. So what you do is you just take the word, what it says about you, what it says about fear, and you know the faith principles. Put it in your mouth, put it in your heart, you speak against it, and you step out against it. Amen? Do the opposite of what it's requiring you to do. Amen? And number two, we were already there. You don't need to go there. Psalms 23:3. He's going to lead you in paths of righteousness. Amen. And let me just add this to it. If you doubt your ability to hear God, it's going to be difficult to hear. He's speaking all the time, even to sinners. They can't hear him except to be saved, like Pastor Jack brought out. But he's speaking on, but you, as a born again, in the image of God, child of God, you can hear the voice of God. Say, I can hear the voice of God. He's going to tell you to do great things, so don't hesitate. Don't second guess yourself. And we're going to get here tonight, but you believe in you and what he says to do. Hebrews chapter 4, go there. And verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Stay full of the Word of God. It is the only thing that is sharp enough to divide between the spirit and soul. But we got a promise right here. If we'll stay full of the Word of God, then that Word will make that clear-cut division for us where soul and spirit is concerned. Now, we've talked much about knowing the difference between a carnal mind and a spiritual mind, but I just kind of hinted toward this and didn't really go down this way this morning, but let me bring it out now. You want the Word to divide between your spirit and soul, even where the good things of God are concerned. For example, let me make it real simple. Let's say Aaron was up here and he's leading in worship. You like my air guitar? So he's leading and he's got that that first song we sung. I liked that. I liked it all, but I liked that song three, man. You like that? And so someone's getting caught up in that and their healing. They got free. And that's how God moved. And it was just awesome. And so now they get something else that's coming against their body and they think, oh, I remember how it happened before. Aaron was playing that song. So I just need to believe God's going to have Aaron play that song and I'll be there. And see, but that Word will reveal that as soul and not of the spirit. Amen. It'll make that division. See, the old man just will just keep doing the same thing over and over again, you know, just whatever felt good, whatever, but not the spirit man. The spirit man is going to follow the Holy Spirit in whatever direction he leads. Amen. So that Word, and so stay full of the Word, stay hungry for the Word. I'll let you know, this is how you know you're receiving the Word of God. You're doing it. You know you're eating the Word when you're doing it. I mean, you just bring it in and bring it in and bring it in, that it mobilizes you. It moves you. And if there's a word coming forth and you're looking at your life and you're realizing, I ain't done anything with that yet. Well, get on it and just meditate on it and let it mobilize you. And then you know you've eaten the Word of God. Amen. And that's the Word that's sharp enough to divide between your spirit and soul. And we don't need to turn for this one. Number four, I haven't given you the numbers, have I? But this one's number four. Number four, that Word will keep your motives in check. It'll just keep the motives in check. It's an automatic. Amen. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. So I love it when God does that. Da, 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 da. Now, I'm not talking about a legalistic list, but it's just like, this is how you're led by the Spirit. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at your neighbor and say, I know I'm going to love this one. Verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. That's the pastors, the leadership, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Our job is to feed the flock of God which is among us, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind, neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now, I'm not going to preach a sermon on divine order, but I do want to say this. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of order. He is not a spirit of disorder, and he's going to lead according to the order of God. When folks get out there doing stupid, dumb things out of the plan of God and then say, oh, God's leading them. I can tell you right now, I look at the disorder in their lives, and I don't care how spiritual it looks, how spiritual it sounds, it was not led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads through order. How can He lead us and lead us out of order? He can't get out of order. So He's going to lead us according to the order of God. Romans chapter 8. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, I teach School of Prayer, and I have the annual Intercessors Conference, and I teach this for intercession. But child of God, you also need to understand this for your own life. You need to be your best intercessor. Amen? And you just, you pray in tongues. You spend time praying in tongues. And when you spend time praying in tongues, you are praying through the perfect will of God for your life. You pray in tongues, the understanding will come. Amen? You make that investment. You spend that time praying in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will reveal those things of God. Hallelujah. And Romans chapter 14. Isn't this simple? And verse 17, say glory when you're there. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, all those rules and regulations, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that's in these things serveth Christ, acceptable to God and approved of men. In other words, if we're going to yield to the anointing, then we're going to have a life full of righteousness, understanding, not let our peace be disturbed, and walk in the joy of God. And I want to point out here, and well, we could go 6 weeks just on this, the law first mentioned there. Is it first talks about righteousness. Honey, when you know who you are, your peace won't be disturbed. And joy is not a problem. Amen. You gotta get to a place you refuse to allow your peace to be disturbed. You refuse to allow your joy to be messed with. And the way you do that is you know who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let me go through this real quick again. Just a quick recap. Being led by the Spirit, you know, as we're understanding, that's gonna get done what needs to be gotten done. And being led by the Spirit's easy. You refuse fear. Understand He's gonna lead you in paths of righteousness. That's number two. He's not gonna lead you according to your natural man. Number three, stay full of the Word. It'll divide spirit and soul. Number four, that Word you stay full of will keep your motives in check. Number five, no order. He works through order. Number six, pray in the Spirit. And number seven, through righteousness, keep your peace and joy intact, and it makes it easy to yield to the moving of God. Amen? Did you get anything out of that? Okay, we're going to take a 5-minute break, and then we'll be right back, and then Pastor Jack is going to